Welcome back to the Pregnant Pause Podcast, the place for women at the intersection of motherhood and ambition.
Y'all killing me with this. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man. Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
His publicist helped calm him down.
I'm your host, Danielle Cadet, and I am here with a very dear friend for an incredibly special conversation. Miss Ebony K. Williams is here.
Oh, Lord. I know. If she says something intelligent, I'll give her credit for it. But I'm willing. It's going to be some dumbass shit.
You know, I feel like every time we talk, we cut up. So I'm really...
Yeah, we're going to try to be on our best behavior.
You know, we don't have to.
Yeah. That's why. Heavy on the wink.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, we work in media. You are a television host. Mm-hmm. You are an author. Mm-hmm. You are also an attorney. So you understand, first of all, so many different walks of life, but certainly the media landscape.
Yeah, I do. So it's interesting. I was a comms major in college. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, shout out to all the comms majors.
Yes.
We tend to get a bad rap, you know? Like, right. What are you going to do with that? Do?
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Hello, somebody. Everything.
Come on. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I really credit both my comms major and my Black Studies major. Mm-hmm. With kind of giving me the tools to synthesize, as you know, I'm humbled to hear your introduction, but it allows me to navigate those pillars of the law.
That's right.
But also mass media, television, audio, podcast. Right. I actually started my broadcast career in talk radio, which a lot of people don't know.
Yes.
And then eventually, you know, becoming a published author two times over. So,
First of all, hats off to you for all of that. But oddly enough, same, right? I was a journalism major and an AFAM studies double major.
Boom.
So that is,
right. People say, what are you going to do with a Black Studies major?
Everything.
I hope this camera keep going.
No, we're
going
to let the camera keep
true.
Rolling.
This is not true. I'm Black, y'all, and I'm Black, y'all, and I'm blacker than Black, and I'm Black, y'all. I'm blickety Black, blacker than Black, Black. I'm blacker than Black, yo, because I'm Black and I'm Black.
The other thing we have in common is we are girl moms.
Yes, we are.
So,
you two times over, girl.
Send up a prayer for me.
Yes, I love it.
But yes, I think there is something really special about having a little girl. Mm-hmm. Your little girl, Liberty, is almost a year old.
She's almost a year in the game.
That is, how does it feel being almost a year in the game?
I think I'm going to let her stay.
God, you're sick.
Not funny, ma'am. I think I'm going to let her stay. Was that a deleting your child joke? Not funny, man. So, just to be clear, this woman is a single mother by choice. She got some random guy's sperm to shoot up in her to have a baby. Maybe we'll get back around to the morality of that later.
I love that, right? It's like, you can stay.
Yeah,
you can stay.
Yeah, your performance period's up. The performance review, I think you're going to pass.
Right, I think we'll be okay.
No, I think I'm the one that she's probably like, you get
like,
to stay.
Right, she's like, how you doing? How are you doing?
We're going to check me.
Right.
So, no, it's been a joyous year. She's literally just brought more joy, Danielle, to my life. It has not been without surprise and challenge, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm here to say, you know, the good news is that it was a beautiful year. Mm. It was a year of profound joy, and I just smiled more this year. What's this, as we record this, there's an Instagram social media trend, you look happier.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I look happier.
Right.
You don't look happy at all, Ebony. You don't look happy at all. Taking care, I mean, she got money. I know she got nannies, 2-3 nannies. This is sick. I know what it's like to be in a house with a newborn. It gets fucking real. I don't know why anybody would sign up to do it alone. Not to mention, like, you set your kid up to basically not have a fucking dad. Just because you wanted a kid that bad. And a part of me thinks that's fucking sick.
You're a good man.
You chose to have your daughter, Liberty, by yourself via IVF with donor sperm.
Yes, I did.
And we will include, like I said, we'll include the Scary Mommy story mm-hmm. in the show notes.
Yes.
And so folks can read that. But I do want to talk a little bit about your story and your decision to become a mother. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about titles, but we'll get into that. But let's start with your story. Let's start with your decision to have Liberty on your own.
I think decision is the right place to start, right? Because so much of this, and I say this with... with privilege. Mm-hmm. I want to state as many times as possible throughout this conversation, Danielle, where I'm standing in points of privilege. Right. I think it's very important.
Yeah.
I think all of this becomes kind of disingenuous and kind of like non-relatable when we gloss over those parts.
That's right.
Right? So I was able to make a decision.
Right.
And I say that with great intensity and intentionality in the year 2025.
Yes.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I'll give her props for saying that. Because on a lot of these podcasts, they be talking from a perspective that only 10 to 15% of the watchers, probably smaller than that, can relate to. Talking about all these six figures and I'm a boss babe. Most women aren't boss babes.
All too many women are not able to make decisions about when and how and if they become mothers.
Right.
So I was able to make a decision that said I never really was somebody who aspired to motherhood. Mm-hmm. I think I want to start with that premise. Mm-hmm. I think I... what's the word, kind of assumed I would be a wife at some point. And I was.
Right.
I was briefly married, literally a year and some change, in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. Amicable divorce. Nothing to see here, ladies. We'll move on.
Don't tell me you're innocent. Because it insults my intelligence.
Wish that man well. And and then decided I really, I was a pretty bad wife in the sense that nothing salacious. No, I just was so focused on my dreams, my ambitions, my aspirations, and frankly, kind of my agenda, you know?
Okay, because I'm the type of woman, I have money. I got my own money. I get my own bag. I don't got to deal with nobody's shit. So if you're treating me how I don't want to be treated, if you doing shit you ain't got no business doing in a relationship, we're done. And I don't got to stick around. A lot of women settle. I don't. I know my worth. And a lot of people don't like that. They don't want you to know your worth and what you deserve. I do.
And that's what type of time women are usually going to be on after 25. And if not chasing a career, just chasing temporary dopamine hits. But they want to do what the fuck they want to do when they want to do it. Ambitious women make terrible mothers and wives.
How dare you?
I'm just going to put it like that. Just because a woman has a career, because I kind of can advocate for getting with a woman who got some type of shit going on for herself. But when you get with a woman who's super ambitious, they make horrible wives. Now, if she just got a career and she don't care about it that much, it's just something to get the bills paid and something she kind of like, but she ain't on some super, super, super ambitious shit, she could still be decent. But when they on some super Kendra G, fucking Ebony K. Williams shit, just leave that alone.
My agenda, you know, and I was immature enough and inexperienced enough to believe that loving me and being even, I guess, married to me even meant going along with that agenda. It meant if you love me enough, you're gonna kind of go my way or more or less here is the highway.
Somebody done told you wrong.
And I say that in retrospect, having grown and learned so much
right.
about how how horribly erroneous that method is and was. So when I came out of that divorce, I had a real clear intention. And this is what I always say to young ladies or people, period, that are kind of, you know, is married to me. I say, I want you to think about if you were to go start a business tomorrow, would you want to pursue your business in a joint venture format?
Right.
Where you willingly and enthusiastically invite collaboration?
Yes.
Where from the logo to the tagline to the cadence of, you know, when you distribute and how you distribute your product and we're doing this together and I like yellow and you like red.
Look at her. She's still running off at tomorrow.
And what do we think? If you like that functioning, I think you could be maybe a good candidate for marriage.
Sure.
I'm dead serious. What you said?
That's real.
Or there's something called solo proprietorship.
Right.
Where the buck stops with you, but also the responsibility stops with you.
Yes.
The surplus, the debts, the liabilities, and the assets.
It's all on you.
It's all on you.
Right.
And it was so clear to me, especially coming out of my divorce, that I am a sole proprietor for life.
You said
this is sad.
I don't like business partners. I don't. It's not for my functioning. So my preferred way to navigate the world is in a solo capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to your question, that was the driver for my decision to, so by the time, you know, a whole bunch of stuff happened, I had an engagement, I ended that during the pandemic. We all went through a global pandemic.
Right.
And we named
that.
And for us, because we're age peers as well, you know, you come out more or less on the other side of that pandemic and I'm 38, 39, quickly approaching 40.
Yes.
And I don't say 40 as a doomsday to anyone listening.
Shit.
No, that's too late to be thinking about fertility. At 35, 38, 40, that's nah. Something has went terribly wrong in your life by that point.
Quickly approaching 40.
Yes.
And I don't say 40 as a doomsday to anyone listening. But I do say it with kind of some pragmatism around biological impact of fertility.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
And I'm sure the physicians will address this better than I can. But I'd already been told, and also a point of privilege. I had a soror personally tell me her story of egg freezing when she was in her early 30s.
Right.
We were colleagues at the time. We were chapter sorors. I had, again, no intention to be a mother.
Right.
But almost like a little bit of a light flex. I had the disposable income.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing well. I'm in New York City.
Sure.
All the cool girls are doing it.
Yep.
Literally, this was like the height of egg freezing parties and all that shit.
Yep.
Out of pocket for that shit.
way out of pocket. What do you gain from that?
So why not? I literally did it as a why not.
Yeah.
At 34, I froze eggs. I ended up freezing 10 that were viable. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to that.
Yep.
Coming out of the pandemic,
yeah.
I'm turning 39, and a few things also happened in that pandemic. In addition to deciding what wasn't for me romantically, I realized that I didn't need, this is my story, mm-hmm. a man to save me in some of the ways that I think I still had some fantasy around being saved.
Mm.
Okay, if we can talk very plainly.
That's yes.
And I think I thought that I needed a man to, like, position me around power, around wealth, around safety, and around security.
Was the feeling that being partnered, that being in a relationship with a man would help you attain those things, secure those things, maintain those things, all of that?
Certainly sustain,
okay.
Right? So, like I've always had confidence, sure. right, in my ability. You know, I've been practicing law since I was 23 years old. I'm a very educated woman, hardworking. So I never doubted my abilities as much as I had questions around the likelihood of a black woman named Ebony from the South being able to sustain financially and, frankly, emotionally in all the ways, the lifestyle and life I wanted for myself long term. So I never doubted whether I could get there.
Right.
I think my insecurity was, could I stay there?
Ooh.
Again, I had some fantasy around some mythical man, some, you know, man in my head being the safety net, being an insurance policy, if you will, around making sure it sustains.
Right.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
A man would just be an insurance policy. But look, after 25, 30, that's all you are anyway. Get it through your thick skull, fellas. If you didn't meet her before she was 25, you're a big part of why she with you is because you're an insurance policy and a retirement plan.
But one thing that I, you know, that again, I think I personally found so refreshing and interesting is that you are now at a place in your life where you can date with a level of freedom that isn't restricted by a biological clock in the back of your head or even looking for a partner who you, you know, looking for a partner through the lens of this person being a father, right?
Absolutely.
Like, wait, what?
That doesn't really make sense. You got a one-year-old daughter. That is really going to hinder her in the dating market even more. Her having that kid by herself was accepting that she probably will never have a long-term partner. It's the same thing when women buy their own houses. That's pretty much sealing the coffin.
You don't know that.
You get to say that about a woman. Why can't you say women are wrong when they're wrong?
You want to be making moves down the street, have no attachments, allow nothing to be in your life that you cannot walk out on in 30 seconds flat.
Okay, first of all, I didn't miss the red flags. I looked at them and thought, damn.